I'm Ed Gordon. This is News and Notes. Martin Luther King Jr. was a civil rights leader, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and an accomplished writer. But perhaps more than anything else, King was a preacher. Today, his sermons continue to be seen as a measurement by which all other sermons are judged. It's a view shared by the Reverend James A. Forbes, Jr. Reverend Forbes is a senior minister at New York's Riverside Church and is known in national and international circles as the preacher's preacher. He spoke with NPR's Philip Martin about King's impact on the preaching tradition.
Dr. King's style actually has probably impacted all of us preachers here in the United States of America. The first impact was that he always combined a kind of approach to thought and to feeling. He addressed your head. You had to think in a King sermon, but you also were going to feel. In his sermon that I preach, if it does not challenge people to think, that's not quite getting it. And if it does not move them to feel, it doesn't get it.
And what about that preaching style, which you say stands out in the minds of the American people and in our ears?
Well, I think that there was a kind of magic about the cadence and the tone of his voice and the way he actually started quite frequently, fairly slow. But slowly you were enveloped and you were a part of his pace. You moved along with him. He engaged you. I mean, often he would ask a question repeatedly, and even if you didn't get a chance to answer back, you thought back and answer. It was a dialogical process. It was an interactive process.
When will you be satisfied?
Never.
We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel.
Now, I would assume that the topics that were chosen, or the topics addressed by King, also influenced his speaking style.
Yes, I think the fact that that almost always he was addressing issues that were current in the day, social, economic, and political. But he brought the biblical story to bear and often would tell the story and then apply it, or sometimes would describe the nature of the crisis and then bring a biblical image to bear on it.
Reverend Forbes, you cited a key word, and that is image.
Yes, I often say that Dr. King's sermons included images that captured the imagination of the soul. Now, that's a mouthful right there. I mean, when he talked about the world house together, meaning that everybody in this world's got to learn how to live together, you don't miss that. When he talked about the fact that you're making strides towards freedom, you can actually see in your mind the movement. When he talked about the walls come tumbling down, the walls of segregation, or if he were talking about a jail cell, he would talk about Daniel in the lion's den. His messages had images, but the images always were muscular. By that I mean, his images required you to think about what action is necessary in order to rise to the occasion. Whatever he said, the image managed to get both into your mind, and then it would, in a sense, trickle down into your soul, and eventually it would be down to your feet where you were ready to take some action about what he said.
Reverend Forbes, you're known as the preacher's preacher, and you delivered quite an address at the Democratic National Convention. How do you think you were personally affected by the speaking style of MLK?
Well, number one, I was not affected by trying to sound like him. Now we have these problems we must face. Some preachers tried to actually imitate the sound of his voice. For me, I think he affected me with respect to make it clear, have the courage not to fuzz it up with all sorts of ambiguities, make it so that when people hear you speak, they know what you are addressing and they know what you are urging people to do about it. So it affected me that way. It has always affected that I do not preach just to the soul of people, because if I preach to your soul and it has no impact on what you do in terms of your energy, your influence, your politics, then I am assuming that that's an ineffective sermon.
Sir, finally, which Martin Luther King Jr. speech in particular do you believe best sums up the oratorical skills of this man?
Well, let me tell you, you know, when you're having a dive, you score the dive on the degree of difficulty of the dive. When Dr. King stood up at the Riverside Church on that night when he was addressing clergy and laity concerned, and he preached a sermon, A Time to End Silence. When he gave that sermon, here is a guy who knew that it was unpopular, had been counseled, do not mix civil rights with an assault against the war. He stood there in a confident mode, laying out the argument, and actually taking on the unfair, unjust war in Vietnam.
We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by our society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Holland.
But again, you got to think about I See the Promised Land. That one is a sermon that you really discover that no matter what they say about the rest of us preachers, King was in a class by himself.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you.
That was NPR's Philip Martin speaking with Reverend James Forbes, Jr. Reverend Forbes is a senior minister at New York's Riverside Church.